Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, if you live in the Eastern time zone. You're listening to American Family Radio. The name of this show is Today's Issues, and we are a live current events program. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 10:05 Central Time to 11:30 on Fridays. We have Trivia Friday, and we'll have that tomorrow. JJ's not here tomorrow. JJ's here tomorrow. I'm here. Ed won't be here, but Walker's going to be here filling in. So Trivia Friday / Learning University will be on the air tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have a lot of Christmas trivia questions, so you don't want to miss that this time tomorrow here on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, we welcome emails at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. And Steve Jordahl is with us from American Family Radio News.
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. And Fred's staying with me here this next half hour to co-host the program.
Today's Issues is the name of the program.
Yes. Thank you, Steve. But what I was getting at, we were told that our Facebook, some of our Facebook viewers are asking about the GoFundMe.
Mm-hmm.
For the wall. Fred, yes. What do you know about this?
Well, this is in connection to the president's desire to get $5 billion from Congress to finish his wall project along our southern border. And he shares that the gentleman who's heading up this GoFundMe is Brian Colphage. He's a disabled U.S. Air Force veteran. And he got the idea from a suggestion, I guess, in a New York Post article that if the president can't get it from Congress, why doesn't somebody start a GoFundMe campaign? He said, okay, I'll do it. So he started this GoFundMe campaign back a few days ago, and already 34,000 people have responded, and he's raised over $2 million. Now, this is what this young gentleman says. He says 63 million people voted for Donald Trump in 2016. He says if each of those voters, each of those 63 million pledges just $80, that will be enough to build the wall. So $80. So he's only been at it a few days. He's raising $2 million so far. And he says if 63 million people, $80 each, that'll be enough to build the wall.
How does that work exactly? I've never participated in a GoFundMe that I remember. I know that's been around a few years. How does it work exactly? The money that is pledged there, is that cash in the bank, or are those pledges that people have if a certain level of money is met? Do you know how that works?
I think you have to give cash up front. You have to give your card, okay, or you have to give a PayPal account or whatever. It's okay. Money that's there.
Okay, I got you. I just wonder how that works exactly. But the point is, we have an American patriot sort of taking the lead there.
Yep, on this.
On this.
To try to help the president get his goal.
It'd be $5 billion.
Yeah.
You know, this is so ridiculous, folks, that the Democrats are blocking the $5 billion to construct the security wall along the southern border. This is just straight raw politics is all it is. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, when we have storms, for example, that hit our country, whether hurricanes or nor'easters or whatever that cause damage, incredible damage, Superstorm Sandy, I remember, to the northeast, our government approves, am I right, they'll approve $70-80 billion of emergency funding for those kinds of situations. Am I right about that? That amount?
Yeah.
I think I'm right.
It seems like an unlimited sum.
I think I'm right about that. You might fact check me, somebody on that. So when you're talking about $5 billion, I know that's more than all of us have combined. but it's not a lot of money, quote, for our federal government. So President Trump is not asking for something that's unreasonable. It's just that the Democrats, and I will say this to you, I understand that there are some Republicans that are have caused him problems on this as well, but the Democrats are only opposing this purely for political reasons to damage President Trump. Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader, he voted for fencing in 2012. There's nothing immoral or there's nothing wrong. In fact, it's good to build walls to protect things, including your country. There's nothing wrong with that. As I mentioned before here, in fact, I would argue, and this is not original with me, Steve, and then Fred can comment, that a physical barrier such as a wall is much better than having to have our border security, our border patrol, physically confront people every day.
Mm-hmm.
The danger that's inherent in that, the risk that's involved where things go bad, is great. But if you have a wall that prevents people from coming here in the first place, then you don't have these kind of physical altercations or put our guys and ladies at so much risk. Does that make
it does?
What's wrong with that logic?
There's nothing wrong with the logic. There's no silver bullet. No fence is going to keep everybody out. There's still drugs that are going to come through other ports of entry and everything. But it makes perfect sense. The only difference between a fence and a wall, I heard one of the politicians say, is you can see through one, and it's, you know, it's ridiculous. It is politics. It is that they don't want to give President Trump a win on his signature thing. It's a three-year-old
right.
food fight is what this is.
But I think it goes, and we've talked about this before, it goes beyond not wanting to give the president a victory. It's
right.
a political ideology
yes.
for the Democrats.
Yes, it's a strategy. Yeah.
They want people coming
yes.
in from these
yes.
countries.
Yes.
They want them to come in. They want them eventually to become citizens
yes.
because they come from a socialist mentality,
yes.
most of these people.
Yes.
And the Democrats want to turn this country into a socialist nation.
Yes. No, you're right. That's the ultimate objective. So if you wonder if you scratch your head, if people are still doing that today, I don't think most people are, you're wondering, why are the Democrats in favor of open borders? It doesn't make any sense. You're not protecting your citizenry. You don't know who's coming into your country. There's so many. We have a legal immigration policy and in place laws that regulate that. If somebody makes it to JFK Airport in New York or Atlanta Airport and they're on a flight and they get here and they don't have the documentation, the passport, for example, to get into the U.S., I've done this many times, many of our listeners too. I've flown back into a U.S. airport. You got to go through customs and passport. And if you don't have it, you're not getting in. They're gonna detain you right then and there, and you're gonna be having to get on the next plane back to wherever you came from. So why is it that we have that, and yet we say, well, if you can just come up over the southern border and get into the U.S., then you can stay forever. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. And there's nothing xenophobic or racist about this. This is every country. Mexico does this. Mexico, they try to control their southern border. Are they xenophobic? Are they anti-Hispanic? You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make any so these racial accusations that are thrown at Republicans or President Trump for just merely wanting to have border security are just ploys to divert from the real issue, which is, as you say, Fred, this is a plan. The Democrats won't. Our country flooded with illegal people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's always been the case. I don't think Bill Clinton, that era of Democrats, were in favor of this. But they figured out the last 10 years, hey, you know, the way that the Hispanic community is the largest minority now in America, and if we curry favor with them by accusing the Republicans of being anti-Hispanic, then we lock in the Hispanic vote for Democrats for years to come. And, as you say, Fred, if we can then get a majority in the House, Senate, and maybe control the White House, we, I'm talking about the Democrats, can give amnesty to all the people who are here illegally, mm-hmm. then that will be the death of the Republican Party as we know it. And then they can move on with their progressive plans, as Abe calls them, regressive plans. People may say, well, Tim, you've got a dark, sinister outlook of the Democrats, their plans for the country. Well, I'm just telling you, like Fred said, the actions speak louder than words, and these people are against any kind of thing that will block people from coming here illegally from the southern border. What other interpretation can you come to, Fred?
Well, I think it was the right interpretation when candidate Barack Obama said, I want to change the country.
Fundamentally.
Fundamentally, and I want to change the world.
Right.
And that's what he meant by that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we basically had a revolving door on our southern border the full time that Barack Obama was in the White. He liked to talk about all the deportations going up. Well, no, there were incidents of the same people coming in five times.
Right.
So you had one guy being deported four or five times.
Which is five deportations, which makes it look like a lot.
Yeah, let me just tell you, too, there are a lot of people listening to us right now who I remember talking to more than one, people who were voting back during the Republican primary season.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't mind telling you, I voted for Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. I thought he was the most qualified, and he best represented my ideology. But I would talk to people, and over again, I would say, who are you voting for? These are friends and people I knew, and they said, so I'm voting for Donald Trump. And I would say, why? Because I knew that they were more in line with Ted Cruz ideologically, and Donald Trump had, you know, a mixed history politically, and they would over and over tell me, because he said build a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So that was his signature issue, build the wall. A lot of people voted for him who would have otherwise voted for other candidates, because President Trump, then candidate Trump, was emphasizing the need to build a wall and control our southern border. So those people I just mentioned are looking now at the White House to see what the president will do when the heat is on. And we'll have to find out in the next few days what his plans are. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, a couple of things. We can stay at the border right now. Let's talk about the continuing resolution that the Republicans...
Oh, let's do it, Steve. I love continuing resolution. Don't you, Fred?
Yeah.
Let's get into the weeds.
Not necessarily. I have some hope for you here.
Okay.
Our good friend, my friend Jim Banks, who's a Republican congressman from Indiana, he is not in the Freedom Caucus, but he's a conservative pro-life Republican, and this is what he tweeted out about an hour ago. He says, I pledged to my constituents that I would fight for increased border security and wall funding. I cannot support a funding bill that does not take meaningful steps to fulfill those commitments. Now is the time for Republicans to fight for the promises we made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't he's conservative Republican, been a Trump supporter from day one, but he's not part of the Freedom Caucus, and I'm wondering how much of the opposition to this funding bill there is outside of the Freedom Caucus. Is it enough to keep the bill from passing?
First of all, let's tell folks what a continuing resolution is. Don't turn off your radio, people, please.
Very quickly, a continuing resolution is just let's keep paying for what we've been paying for another couple of weeks, and in this case, till February.
Buying time. For what exactly? That's what the question is. But it's buying time to keep from the government shutting down, on Christmas Eve or something like that. But it's the kicking the can down the road for a few more weeks.
But if Republicans in the House don't pass this thing and they can't get it to the president, the government may shut down. He may get his wish after all.
Mm-hmm. What?
The president's wish to shut the border wall,
who's not going to get this to the president?
If Republicans cannot get this continuing resolution out of the House,
vote
no on it, then it can't get to the president's desk.
By the way, the House Republican leadership is at the White House right now meeting with the president. I have to believe this is what they're talking about.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's probably not Paul Ryan anymore, right?
Yeah, Paul Ryan.
Oh, he is still there?
He's still Speaker.
Yep.
They're talking about what they do in the lame duck. Mm-hmm. They've got a couple days left.
Okay, next story.
All right, staying at the border, we have some new policy that I think you guys just briefly touched on this last hour. Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is announcing action to reverse the catch-and-release policy at the border. Let's hear what she had to say about this.
All too frequently, if they say the magic words, they get a free pass into America. So today I am announcing historic measures to bring the situation under control. Effective immediately, the United States will begin the process of invoking Section 235B2C of the Immigration and Nationality Act. Once implemented, individuals arriving in or entering the United States from Mexico illegally or without proper documentation may be returned to Mexico for the duration of their immigration proceedings. They will not be able to disappear into the United States. They will have to wait for approval to come into the United States. If they are granted asylum by a U.S. judge, they will be welcomed into America. If they are not, they will be removed to their home countries. Let me be clear, we will undertake these steps consistent with our domestic and international legal obligations, including our humanitarian commitment.
So basically what she's saying is catch and release is gone, and now it's catch and go to Mexico. So what Mexico has said is while they wait in Mexico, the Mexican government has made its own determination to provide these individuals with humanitarian visas, work authorization in Mexico, other protections. So now, instead of disappearing and not showing up for their court case, they will show up for their court case because it's the only chance they have of getting into the country under asylum.
Now, she just made it very clear that they are invoking what's already on the law books.
Number one, let's be
very clear about that. Catch and release is not a constitutional thing. No. It's something that was brought in.
It was a presidential action or inaction, depending on
Say all that because we know that the ACLU or somebody's going to go to some federal judge, Ninth Circuit, Hawaii, wherever they wanted to, and they're going to do this. Listen, this is just the law of the land. It makes sense. I was talking with Steve just before we came back after the news. I used to live in British Columbia, Canada, borders with Washington State. Border crossing is Blaine. If when I was living in British Columbia, I went down to the border crossing in Blaine's and said the magic words that she talked about, few magic words, do you think for a moment they would say, come on in, Fred, and you can kick around in the United States for the next couple of years until your court date? No.
Right.
They would say, get in your car and go back.
Right.
And here's the date, and you come on down then on this date, and we'll hear your case.
Right.
And I would say, okay, that makes sense. Okay, I won't do that. But what's been allowed to happen on our southern border is say the magic words. Okay, you're in. The judge sets
magic
a date.
Magic words being what? I want asylum?
I'm being persecuted in my home country.
Okay.
Magic words. That's all. They don't have to prove
it. They've been given cards, actually, of the phrase that they need to say to the border people when they're apprehended at the southern border. And I don't know what exactly they say, but it's basically, I am requesting asylum because I am under threat of persecution or imminent threat in my home country.
Yeah, that's all.
So now those people are going to go back to Tijuana or to northern Mexico or wherever they – and Mexico has agreed with the U.S., thank you, President Trump – to give these people work visas while they wait, to take care of them, to feed them.
Yeah.
And then when their court date comes up, they can come on over and go to the court. If the judge says, yes, you have valid legal reason to be in here, they can come in. If not, they're going back to Guatemala, wherever they came from.
You know, this is obviously abuse of our kindness, all right? Americans' willingness to take people in who are genuine and political refugees from around the world. That's our history. That's what we do. People from war-torn lands can apply for citizenship here in the U.S. because they come from places where there's genocide going on, for example, or persecution. But that's, you know, and certainly not in Mexico, that's not true. And these Central American countries, they've got drug wars going on down there, but they'll have those from now till. And you got a lot of political corruption, you know, in that part of the world that I guess will be with us forever. But those aren't what you would call refugee
They're not. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You don't grant asylum because of those things. It's right. Sad.
Go ahead, Fred.
Can I raise, because I'm a journalist, yes. I'm a little suspicious sometimes of government announcements. The timing of the secretary's announcement today, I'm a little suspicious of it because it comes within days after the announcement by the Trump administration that this country just sent $2.8 billion down to Mexico. And to
the
U.S. to help out with their economy. Could it be that the United States taxpayer has just given Mexico the money
to give them the humanitarian aid?
The humanitarian aid.
Well, okay. I would like to know more about this money that was given out to Mexico and other Central American
yes.
countries as well. Because is this part of the normal annual foreign aid that we hand out around the world, or was this something special?
The picture that was painted that this is new money.
I would like an explanation from the White House or somebody on this. Somebody needs to explain this because, as you're saying, it looks like a buy-off. Right?
It
looks like it. What else would you?
It's not necessarily a bad solution. I mean, if you're going to keep these people on their side of the wall and they're going to have to show up, they're not being catch and release, maybe that's the couple billion dollars is what the United president thought was good. I don't know. I can see where you're questioning that.
Well, somebody needs to just tell us straight up that's what's going on here.
Yeah, straight up. Transparency. That's the government.
Straight up, we have foreign aid dispensed all over the world, and I know some people don't like that, but sometimes it does serve a purpose for our own national security interest. I'll give you an example. In Egypt, we give them a lot of money, you know, for their military, and we do that primarily so that the Egyptian government/military will help us keep the peace with Israel and keep the Suez Canal open. So I know that's bribery in another way of looking at it, but sometimes that does serve the interest of the United States. I'm just saying that you have to consider everything in a case by case situation, but that is the way we've operated here in America for a long time. All right, you've got a minute. What do you got,
all
Steve?
Right, let's just Ocasio-Cortez Alexandria, our new congressman-elect from New York, was disappointed in a story from Politico that had claimed that she was going to challenge House leadership because they weren't quite radical enough. So she tweeted out, one thing disappointing about D.C. gossip is masquerading as reporting is that the story had not a single named or verifiable source and one on the record comment, which was a denial. She said, that's fake news. To which Donald Trump Jr. replied, welcome to our world. What do you think? That's bad. Imagine what it's like when they actually hate you.
Oh, that's touche. Yeah. Donald Trump Jr. All right. Steve, thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Sir, for your contributions. And Fred, thank you.
Good to be here. This is the last time we're going to be together until after Christmas.
Is that right? Yeah, that's right. I'll be here next week, but then we got Trivia Friday tomorrow. You'll be here?
I'll be here next week.
Next week? Okay. Yeah, well, Merry Christmas to you and your family, Fred.
Same to all.
Okay, folks, keep listening to American Family Radio. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you here tomorrow live for Trivia Friday. See you then.